Feel like the everyday chaos is getting to be too much? Head on over to winninggym.com/BAP and we can help you there. Join our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator program for quick wins for your gym. Check it out. You deserve it. Now back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right. Welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, back in the studio from earlier, from last week. Joined by Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
How we doing, man?
Good, good. Just got back in town.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. It's not that difficult.
Was that this morning?
Yeah, shot the gap this morning. Yeah.
Well, that's got to be one of the best parts. It's like gone, but not full day's, travel and trip.
Yeah, yeah. Just we're talking about going up into the mountains and coming back. Good episode for you guys today. We're going to get into some simplification and what I mean by that. So I'm going to take you guys on a little journey of what the typical, what I did, right?
Yeah.
When I was focused on growing in the business and what were the metrics and things that I was focused on and what I am now. So when we first started, 2009, 2010, all I cared about was member count.
Yep.
And it's a vanity metric in some ways, but yes, you got to have members when you start from zero. Cause I didn't have a business before that. Like sure. A lot of people start with like a training out of their garage and they bring 65 members over and they got a great jump start. I didn't have any of that. So all I was doing was sales.
300.
Yep. 300 members, get them in the door, And it was all about member count and the pricing was what it was. I mean, we had all different kinds of options and we had mainly when I first opened, it was open gym. Yep. And then some training if you wanted it kind of stuff. So, and as we matured as a business, we were looking not necessarily at member count, but we're looking at revenue, mm-hmm. right? Because revenue is what pays the bills.
Yeah.
And we were all about gross revenue, growing the top line. And it wasn't necessarily recurring revenue. It was just any revenue. I was like, mm-hmm. let's get some sales. Let's go sell the pay in full. And that was kind of like phase two, right? Where we're like, okay, we're coming up short. Can we charge more? Can we create things that could sell? Can we just cover the gap?
You're like grasping at straws.
Yeah, that was kind of phase two. Phase three, we were getting more mature and we were like, okay, business is decent. Let's look at net profit. How much are we making out of this? It's not about what you make, it's what you keep. Mm-hmm. How much are we keeping? And, that went on for probably 4 or 5 years. And not that long ago, we were very net profit focused. And over the last 2.5 years, maybe even 3 at this point, it's all about simplification, simplifying, mm-hmm. getting rid of things, getting rid of the dead weight. And, I guess it took all those things to happen in order to get to this point at some level. But I think you can shortcut the process in a lot of this stuff, especially with a lot of the gyms we're working with. We see just too much of stuff.
Yeah, there's just too much stuff. They're working too hard or they're just got too much on their plate to make any one of them really effective type of thing.
Right, yeah. Right. And so over the last, 2.5, 3 years now, it's all been about, how can we simplify everything from the service offering itself? We got rid of large group training because at one point we had open gym, program design, limited large group. We called it boot camp. It was just like metabolic conditioning. It was large group class. Then we had, we've always had month-to-month and annual agreements, but then we also had like frequency-based 2-3 unlimited. And now what we have is literally no large group, no program design, no open gym. We got semi-private training and you got 2 options. They're both unlimited.
Yep.
It's just a term. Are you going to go the open route or are you going to go the unlimited route? And so that we simplified that. We simplified our program design. We created a whole software around it. We simplified our coaches' schedules way back. You have a morning shift, afternoon shift, simplify our cancellation policy for appointments is simplified down to 1 hour before. It's none of this 6 or 12 and only, you know, the people at 6 in the morning, you can't, you know, it's like before somebody had to get up at like, you know, midnight or something to cancel the 6 a.m. class or whatever the session. And so we're like, we took it down to 1 hour. You can book or cancel in 1 hour. And, you know, the coaches' schedules, everything's simplified. Our the way we do our shifts, they overlap in the middle of the day. So all the coaches are here. We can do our, you know, we can do our training, our coaches do a podcast, stuff like that. And so, and it's great. And so there was a question from one of our Iron Circle members. They said this, it was a great question because it was like, if you were to sell your business today to a new owner, what would they change tomorrow in your business? And really what he was trying to force the question is, what are you avoiding on changing right now that somebody else would just do because they're new and they don't have all the, I don't know, the relationships and things that, this mindset thing of they couldn't change anything. Like what would you change tomorrow? What would they change tomorrow if you sold your business today?
Yeah, we've talked a million times about the my clients won't mentality. You know what I mean? And a lot of that's just the fact that you've been in that seat for a long time. Like you've adopted the belief probably more than the clients have.
Or you, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Sure.
It's like I can deal with the problem. I know it's not perfect, but I can handle this. Mm-hmm. What if we do change it? What will happen? And it's like you avoid that. And my answer was, they would change nothing.
Sure.
We have the perfect machine here. And yes, and I say the word perfect, but no, there's always things you can improve on, but there's nothing they need to change. We have a systematic lead generation and sales process.
Yep.
They don't have to do any, I mean, it just happens. We've got a systematic onboarding process. We have systematic program design. We have systematic schedule, systematic, procedures and policies. Contracts are systematic. Everything's systematic. The delivery systematic. The environment systematic. It is very clean. It's a machine. It's by design. Like that's the whole point of this. And the challenge that I think gym owners that are listening to this show is they've got a mix match of a Frankenstein that they've put together and bolted things on over the years. And they're avoiding making the difficult choices and the changes that need to be made because my clients won't goes through their head and, you know, they're just worried about the change. And most of the time, the growth comes from getting rid of things.
Yeah.
And you're afraid to get rid of that 3 p.m. class because Miss Johnson's been here since day one and that's her favorite time. It's like, guys, it's ruining.
Well, that's what I remind clients. You're and we had a good breakthrough with one of our Iron Circle members in Orlando about it, right? He was trying to remove a service, but it affected 12 or 19 clients. And I'm like, you know, the pushback that I had to him is right now your business is handcuffed by 12 or let's just use 12 clients.
Sure.
You are handcuffed to that structure of the business. Even if you, like, again, we're not the relationship and the loyalty and all of that, sure, it is difficult. But if we're in a business to serve and your business needs to serve the marketplace and it needs to serve you as the owner, if you're handcuffed and you know that there's greater opportunity out there, how many people are you not serving because you're handcuffed by 12? And that's, to me, the biggest, like, that's where you need to put your focus is how many more people can I help? How many can I help in the right areas of the business, in a business that supports me, or are you avoiding making any of those changes because a couple, you know, loud voices?
Well, they're avoiding the temporary pain and challenge of future growth. And it's just like, you know, yeah, it's hard. You're going to hear it. And guys, I've got a great story. Like there was a group of, active adult members here and there, you know, much older than our regular clients, but like 70s and into the 80s, you know, kind of everybody loved them, right?
Yeah.
We had this Foundations. It was called Foundations. It was just a large group session drilled down into the basics and they loved it, right? Mm-hmm. They plan their day around this class, right? Yeah. And this, again, this is what, 5-6 years ago now at this point. And, you know, these in my mom, when she lived up here, she would drive up and take, these were her friends.
Yep.
And you know, we were out to dinner one night with my parents and you know, like, you can't get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, we can. and we're going to, because so the problem with that Foundations was what we called it was a little less money because they're on fixed budgets. Sure. And look, we're trying to help everybody. And this was the root of the problem. We're trying to help everybody and we weren't helping ourselves. The vibe of the music changed and the environment, you know, and there was also sessions happening at that same hour. Let's just call it 11 o'clock or whatever it was. And I just hated it because, you know, they kind of ruled the roost for that hour and we changed the environment for them. And eventually I said, enough's enough. We got to cut this. And we offered them deals to go into semi-private training and just go into our regular stuff. And, you know, most of them couldn't afford it. And I understood we were going to lose some folks and I apologized. And I said, it wasn't personal. And, you know, I ended up doing it. Mm-hmm. I didn't avoid that one that long, maybe a couple months when we made the decision to when we pulled the plug. And you know, everyone went on their way. Sure. Right. And my mom was in my ear. You didn't do that. And I'm, you know, so I'm getting pressure over here. This yeah. even, she isn't even a client, but she knows all them. Right. Yeah. And then I get a letter in the mail.
Yeah.
A handwritten letter from one of our longest time. His name was Sam. I'm calling him out. I don't care. And you know, Sam, I was surprised, right? This is a gentleman that, you know, is a Jew, who's Jewish, and we had a Christmas tree, and for him I would put a menorah, like a menorah up in the lobby for, you know, cause I wanted to appreciate him as well. Anyways, he sent me a letter and he's like, you know, I've been with you X amount of years, whatever. And you know, he didn't even apologize for anything. I wish you nothing but bad luck or something. Yeah. Like, I hope you fail.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, hey, appreciate the years of business. And you know, I understand what you're needing to do, and you know, it's unfortunate you had to do it. No. It was like, F you, I hope you die type of, you know, it was sure. like,
yeah, all dismal. And,
and it was a handwritten letter, like
hate mail.
Like he had to like think this through.
Yeah.
This isn't one like in passing or a text message or anything. This was like handwritten. He hated it. Like, dude, okay. You know, I laughed it off, like, but I'm still, obviously it bothers me enough that I'm talking about it. But the point of this is you're going to get some backlash.
Yep.
You're going to piss people off. But at the end of the day, is it for, you know, you're doing it for the benefit of the business, which in turn benefits your staff, which in turn benefits you as a family, and in turn benefits the other clients to maybe make a change and piss 12 people off.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey guys, as you know, at Built to Grow, we're all about systems and scalability. And that's why I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Semi Private Pro. Several years ago, I was in our gym looking around and I noticed our coaches were staring at their clipboards, struggling to stay one step ahead of the clients. And I thought, gosh, there has to be a better way. So I tasked Zach, our fitness director, and I said, dude, we got to find a software that would enhance our clients' training experience and increase our coaches' levels of engagement. See, we're all about client experience here. After countless demos, we realized there was literally nothing designed for our training model. So we set out on a mission and I said, look, we got to create an app that is designed specifically for semi-private training. And I can tell you guys this firsthand, this is taking our training to new heights, and I'm confident it can do the same thing for you. See, with Semi-Private Pro, you can streamline your training system, enhance client engagement, and scale like never before without spending hours on programming. To learn more about how you can get started with Semi-Private Pro, head on over to special link here, semiprivatepro.com/BTG. That's Built to Grow. So just head on over real quick to semiprivatepro.com/BTG to check out a demo for yourself.
And so we've all gone through stuff like this, and you know, and I really don't have, I usually pull a trigger pretty quick.
Sure.
I don't really care that much, but there's a lot of gym owners that don't pull the trigger because the fear of the loss, of the members, the fear of the loss of the, you know, the anti-conflict, they don't want the conflict and the loss of revenue.
Yeah.
Right. For greater gains later.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you holding on to as a gym owner that you need to make the change? And most of it, it's simplification. Are you, you know, and here's the brutal hard truth about fitness business. And, you know, and I got some great stories around this too. Real life stories that, you know, people, gym owners have a training business, right?
Sure.
And they make X amount of money. Their bills are higher than that. And instead of really focusing on the delivery of the training service, the core services that they offer, they'll bolt on high ticket sales programs for transformation. They'll bolt on a challenge or something. They'll bolt on a supplement play. Not to pad the profits, but to make up the gap between what they should be making from their regular training revenue and their base operating expenses.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that all the time.
So instead of growing the core, focusing on what is the most important thing in your business, which is your core offerings, which is, you know, training or large group or whatever you offer, instead of focusing on that, making that the best in town, let's bolt on a high ticket transformation program and sell these things for $3,000 and make up. We only need to sell 5 of them. Well, sure. Like to make up the gap. But like, if you would have just focused on the core offering and grown that up by $15,000, yeah, it takes a lot longer.
Well, I mean, even
but
at
once
that,
you're there,
I mean, if you did $5,000 a month, you still, that's the benefit of growing your base membership too, is the exponential growth. Right. You had 5 clients in your business this month. They're paying you next month. And then you had 5 more. You've now got the benefit of 10 clients in your business. You know
15.
What I mean? And then 15 and so forth, as opposed to I made 5 sales this month and then that money's in and out. And then the next month you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I need 5 more to make up the gap, not just that revenue again. And that is the core foundation of, I mean, everything we teach in our coaching program. The way I was just talking to a gentleman who's, we were recapping the delivery of our coaching program. And I broke down, you know, from mindset, delivery, ascension, all the way through to the final ones, attraction or marketing, right? And he goes, so we market at the end. And I go, well, here's the thing. I go, well, we need to dial in your business. We need to get the systems. We need to get your foundation of the business where it needs to be first before putting people in it. We can't just go rattle the cage once we just added new members to it or change, you know, maybe you signed them up for a membership that's no longer in your business anymore. Yep. Like we need to get all of that figured out first. And for us, I mean, it's become so clear, right? Like even to the fact that we sell one thing, we sell one really, like, here's our training. This is what we do. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I wanted to add to it is the simplification of not only the things in your business, but who you serve. Mm-hmm. Every gym I get on the phone with wants to be the damn Cheesecake Factory of fitness. You know, you've got somebody with injuries and ailments and things like that. You're like, oh, why, we could do custom tailored programming to you. No problem. And then they're in your program, they're in your business, and you can't put them in the same session as other people. You can't, you know, you have to break the business as it is to serve that one client. Or you've got Mrs. Johnson, who's, you know, 70 years old, and then you take on a 25-year-old athlete, and it's like, okay, I can't get these people to work together. Well, are you attracting the right people to your business too? Sometimes you need to just understand that it's not about serving everybody. It's about serving the people that are in line with your services and what you bring to the table and doing that the best. Mm-hmm. And so breaking that kind of mentality that just, oh, and I think a lot of it comes from desperation. I mean, I think the reason or scarcity mindset, right, is they're in such a need for that one sale that they'll do anything to make that sale at the expense of the business.
Yeah, the that's the long-term problem, is you're going to have to always do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we were running, we had turned off some marketing to make some changes, right? And our lead flow slowed way down, which is to be expected.
Sure.
And I just was sitting there in the lobby. I'm like, dude, even if we didn't make any sales for 4 months, like, we're not going anywhere. This is a solid business right here. And like, this is the dream for so many, is to have a gym that just is, the recurring revenue is, it, you know, if I didn't make any sales, assuming we lose like 50 people, right? Like normal attrition, we're like, I guess if we lost 5 and replaced 5, we're kind of at this kind of equilibrium. We're doing so well and the profit margins are so high and we're, you know, the team is paid well and everybody's good. I don't need to be desperate. And I'm, you know, that's the issue in the market, is that the businesses are not sound.
Correct.
The foundation of the operations are not sound. The pricing's off. The delivery's wrong. The whatever, all the broken stuff that causes people to leave and or you're not making your margins. Now you, as an owner, you're desperate and you got to run some whiz bang marketing play or some high ticket transformation, or like, guys, focus on the damn thing. Make the one thing the one thing. Don't start throwing shit in there to try to like make up the gap.
And that's the thing.
And that's what's happened, man.
Well, and I think it's difficult because obviously with you know, when you're hit with all those ads and those promises and things like that, it does. It sounds grandiose. It sounds like the ticket. It sounds like the path. But you have to have a little bit thicker skin. Like, a lot of that is too good to be true type of thing. A lot of hollow promises out there in agencies and things like that. And you as the owner of the business have to really be clear on what it's going to do to your business in order to make that new play or whatever it may be take even have legs. Mm-hmm. I mean, use a challenge, for example. We've talked about it for years. One of the biggest reasons, despite who they the type of client that it brings into the business, just challenges have a problem because you're not plugging them into what you do every day. You're creating a different program, different, you know, deliverables. You're throwing in everything in the kitchen sink to get these people these short-term results that don't look anything like your business. You know what I mean? And so do you want to work harder for every dollar that comes into the business? That's a great way about going about it. If you want to systemize, have clarity, confidence, know that your business has legs like you're talking about to just hold the test of time, you have to solidify the foundation. And, you know, I compare us to the Starbucks and the McDonald's and the things like that. I mean, from an operational, systemized approach to business, that's what our business operates with, like, here. And I don't think that the majority of fitness businesses, I think they're out there grasping at straws, hoping something comes together. But it's because they're avoiding the things they know they need to do, and they're taking shots on all these one-offs.
Yep.
Hey, Tim Lyons here, and I just want to give a quick shout out to everyone out there surviving the day-to-day chaos of the fitness business. You know, you're showing up every day and you got people counting on you. I know it's not easy, but you're doing it, so keep on going. But listen, if you feel like it's getting to be too much and you wanted to get some support so you can get out of the struggle and get into real growth, then I highly recommend that you check out our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator Program at winninggym.com/grow. Go check it out, sign up, and let's get you on track for some easy wins and get back to growth mode. All right, once again, the link is winninggym.com/grow. And now back to the show.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to make money in this business. You could run these transformations and challenges and try to pick up a $50,000 month this month, you know, an extra revenue. Cool. Then you got to do it again. And again, and again. And so you become a sales company,
yeah,
like the client you were talking about. You know, I was talking to a guy that owns a CrossFit, right? And, you know, been in business 15 years, 13 years. And great guy. Mm-hmm. He runs another company that serves the fitness industry as well. And that's why we were on the phone. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he owned a gym. We got talking about the gym. We got to talking about CrossFit itself. And the cheap price tag and the, you know, all the things, right? Like every gym that even is a CrossFit knows that the model's broken.
Yeah.
They know it.
Yeah.
But they stick with it for some reason. Anyways. And, you know, the guy's doing 50 grand a month out of the gym.
Nice.
I was like, fantastic, man. That's great. You know, mind if I ask, like, how much of that is the, you know, the thing that you're offering over here versus the CrossFit membership? Because he offers what he was selling me over the phone to his current members, and that's how he makes more revenue out of his gym to get the 50K. He goes, oh, if we didn't have these other things, it would fail.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're telling me, like, the CrossFit, the core thing, the business itself wouldn't make it without these other additional things. So I said, that's a broken model.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to bolt things on that are not the core service in order to make up the gap, that's a big problem to me.
There's another situation, and this one's really common, and it's become more common the last handful of calls that I've, or just top of mind, I should say, from the last number of calls I've had, is you have a recurring model. You've got a membership, and then you're selling sessions instead. And that's, like, to me, that's the biggest thing, is like you're sitting here trying to figure out how to get by, how to make more money consistently, but your confidence is, let me just go to the bottom. Let me run to where the client's comfortable. That's a sales problem. That's not a marketplace problem. Mm-hmm. If you have, like, I perfect example, we had a gym that was doing about 50K. 25 of that was memberships. The other 25,000 was short-term session based sales. And I'm like, well, why don't you just move, like, why don't you focus on moving more of those clients to your membership model and give yourself some clarity, give yourself some longevity, have the conversation, stability, have the conversation with the clients that, you know, hey, I understand that it's been comfortable over here, but with the with the results that you're looking for, we both agree that it's going to take longer than 6 more sessions. Like, let's commit, let's make the commitment. And that's the big thing. I think there's a lot of, whether you have a sales-based business, that doesn't mean you do it well. And I think that there's a big fear to people committing to fitness. I mean, hell, you can have a membership in a monthly.
I don't think it's the client that has the fear. It's the gym owner that has.
That's what I'm saying.
The gym owner should just say, we don't offer sessions.
Exactly. Why are you selling things? People, that's the thing, is you've got this, you're an order taker as opposed to quote unquote prescribing where in the business, what this person needs to be. And I think that could be one of the ultimate things when it comes to selling fitness memberships, goes back to our other one, sell the solution, not a service. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's because what we sell is not an overnight fix. And if you believe that in the business, if you're running those challenges, that type of short-term belief in your bit, it's because you believe that. That's why your clients are buying that. Not 100%. It's not them coming to you. And yeah, they're going to choose the simplest commitment to them as a consumer walking into a business, because that's what the only thing they know to do. But if you're having a real conversation about their actual changes that they need in their business and things like that, we can sell the longer term memberships, and they will commit to it because we're having a different conversation.
Yeah.
It's not transactional. It's about changing their life.
Yeah. Well, it's the gym. Yeah. So the gym, be it the owner or the processes of the gym, they need to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go, like, first thing I would probably do if I'm listening to this episode and I'm like, okay, I got some stuff to look at, I would go look at my membership recurring revenue and how much is coming in recurring. Right. That's your core, right?
Yep.
And then I would look at my one-time sales, point of sale. If you're doing sessions, if you're doing transfer, what does that look like? What's my base operating expenses? Is my recurring revenue at least equal to my base operating expenses? If it's not, and you're using all these, you know, silver bullet tactics to try to make up the gap, you've got some work to do. I mean, sure. Is it nice to make an extra 30 grand for, you know, 10 people selling them at 3 grand? Yeah. But do that 12 months straight and then fulfill on every single one of those 120 members, right? Like, it's not, and also serve your current membership base mm-hmm. at the same time. Like, as soon as you start splitting attention and splitting attention again and splitting it again, and then you're vulnerable to the next whiz bang thing that shows up on your feed. Add nutrition, add a supplement line, add cold plunges. Now, you know, you're doing all of those things because you're like, oh my gosh, I can make an extra 5 grand over here next year. And I could do that. Okay. Once your recurring revenue is greater than your base operating expenses, do whatever the hell you want.
Sure.
Do whatever you want. Honestly. Like, but if you're not there and you're using all these like band-aid solutions, you're just going to be doing this forever.
And well, and looking at, let's look at our Iron Circle, for example.
Yeah.
You know, the belief there is the reoccurring model. 30,000 is the line to get in that group. These gyms are doing twice that now. Plus, you know what I mean? There's gyms in there doing well over the $1 million mark.
We had a gym that started at 360. Went to 5-something, went to 7. This year, they're in the ninth.
Nines.
They're going to be in the ninth. They tripled their revenue just about. I mean, they'll be over $1 million probably next year, right? So it's like, why?
In reoccurring revenue. And right. that's like the, let that sink in for a second, right? They've tripled the amount of reoccurring business because that's become the singular focus for growth. They're not out there worried about the next challenge. They're not out there trying to figure out how to make 5 additional grand this month that won't be on the books next month. Like, it's all consistent, focused growth
mm-hmm.
and is intentional. And I mean, this might be one of the biggest saving graces that Tim and I have ever talked about. Like, if that number isn't your main focus as a gym owner, you're definitely missing the mark.
Yeah.
When we're talking with the top 5%, the top 1%, the top 0.5% of this industry, it's all done this way.
Yeah, they're focused on the delta. That's what we created the spreadsheet. And they, you know, when they look at that one thing, and that's it. and great. It's awesome. You know, like if you're just starting out, we have one gym that was like brand new, you know, like he's less than a year.
I think he just hit his first was 1 year.
So he had some cash flow stuff going on, which is totally understandable. And he's turning on the marketing machine and he's getting it all fired up and doing all that stuff. And, you know, he wanted, I think the saving grace for him was literally the enrollment fee. We just added in a little extra cash influx instead of waiting for it to trickle in over the next 4 weeks or whatever, versus doing a bunch of paid in fulls.
Like burning, cannibalizing the EFT.
So, he's well on his way now. He's blowing past, in the 30s, mid 30s now, and he's just going to keep going. So, I guess this is like just a realization for what I see out there in the market, as far as gyms that are not operating well. I think COVID, the whole pandemic, like the whole Warren Buffett, when the tide goes out, you can see who has been swimming naked.
Yeah.
Like that's
you're exposed.
It cleared out 36% of the market.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last thing I want to see happen is the guys that are just starting their gyms now after the people left the market, or the people that barely hung on and now are still in the market, like still swimming naked. Swimming naked is not having your recurring revenue over your base operating expenses. And one thing happens and all that, you know, basically the tide goes out, you're basically out of business, right? Yeah, like you don't make sales.
Just think about if you have a bad month and from the sales side of things and you're not covering those expenses, who's not eating?
Are you the
owner? Are you holding back payroll? Are you like that? That's the reality of the position you're in every single month.
Every month.
Right now, you're literally having to put food, literally make sales to put food on you and your team's table. That is not a comfortable position to be in. Like that should be, to your point, let that be the first main focus. Then there's a little ability to take risk, but let's build the business with the foundation.
Focus on the foundation. Yeah, guys. I mean, that's that should be only focus, period. That's it. So
simple.
We have such the advantage of the membership model in this business, but people just throw it away or they don't lean on it as your foundation. Yeah. So anyways, hope that helps. Hopefully that gets you fired up and like, oh my gosh, I need to maybe look at some stuff. If you guys need some help, like, listen, guys, we do the Business Accelerator Coaching Program. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We work with gyms like yours, fix problems, build them up, get the metrics in place, and then throw marketing in there and boom, things scale out of control.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, it doesn't have to be semi-private. That's what we do the best, right? But, you know, we work with every gym, right? Yep. We even work the damn CrossFit. We've got the CrossFit. We got the large group training models, the class-based models, semi-private, private, whatever.
Hell, I mean, we've done martial arts gyms. We've done the fringe deliveries in fitness, and the systems carry weight. That's the thing is everybody thinks that what they do is so unique, but at the end of the day, the commonality is the systems that run our businesses. I mean, I've had conversations out of our industry and those same systems hold up in those, you know what I mean? Yeah. So at the end of the day, if you don't have those systems in your business, that's exactly what we say and we believe you need, because we've seen the results for ourselves. We've seen the results for our clients and you can too.
Yeah. 10-4. All right. That's it for this episode, guys. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye.
All right, and thank you for listening to that episode of the Built to Grow podcast where we help gym owners win. Now, do you want to connect with me and other gym owners online? All you need to do is join our private Facebook group, Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. Just head on over to Facebook and type in Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. And when you do, we're going to give you our 10 marketing strategies 7-figure gym owners use to win. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, keep building something great.